And you are the people that carry the name of God, Christians in today's time. But at that time, these people who carry the name of God, as we read, they forsook God. They did what was wrong. And perhaps not everybody did what was wrong, but some people did, and the whole community was tarnished with the fact that someone or some people did what was wrong. They were people of God indeed. They were people of promise indeed. But then they were going through such a hard and torrid time. For 7 years they had their neighbors who come and encamp on their land. That means they will grow their crops. And their neighbors will wait for these people to do all the hard work. And when it is ready to be harvested, the neighbors will come with their camels, with their sheep, with their bulls, with everything. You know, camels, they eat. Cows don't stop eating. And they will come and encamp with all their people and eat all the produce of the land. And the people who worked for it did not have anything. The Bible says that they were impoverished. Impoverished means that you're out of pocket. Imagine you going to work so hard, and sometimes your work is so challenging. You have to wake up at 5 o'clock, run to your work, and work and work and work, and come home totally exhausted. Then at the end of the day, the month comes, and your HR and payroll department said, "Sorry, mate, there's nothing for you." How will you feel? That is exactly what was happening to the people of Israel at the time. Now, being a Christian, things can go wrong, but where will be your God when things go wrong? When things have gone wrong, when you are impoverished and don't see his miracles anymore, God is saying that I am with you. Even the backsliders in Israel who did the wrong things, even backsliders even now who neglect God, when they cry out to God, he will hear them because of his love and his grace for his people. The Lord today is saying, I will be with you. I don't know what your state right now, whether you're a backslider, somebody who's not close to God, who God is a part-time thing for him or her. Or sometimes they don't even care about God until one day they think, oh yeah, today I should go to church. Or sometimes they don't even go to church at all. Because once upon a time they were so close to God, they couldn't wait to come to the house of God. But now they don't read their Bible. Daily devotions come into their inbox and they delete it or they don't even open it. Somehow along the line, worship is zilch. Praying is zilch. The word of God, their Bible, is gathering dust. These days the Bibles are on their phones. They will open up every app and every site but the one that has the Bible. It means you are backsliding. That means you are going back from God. You are not keeping your part of the covenant. But even in the midst of that, looking at the people of Israel, God is saying, I will be with you. God still remembers his children when your back is against the wall. Some of you are doing so well, yet your back is against the wall. I am sure Gideon, as mentioned in the Bible, I don't know why my parents gave me that name. Everybody has George, have David, have Richard, and then they come to me, they give me Gideon. When I was growing up, I was so upset. I'm thinking my name doesn't sound cool. Everybody's name sound, I mean, the women are Lily, Georgia, Joyce, and I'm thinking, yeah, Gideon. What an odd one among the Lord, but I'm the special one. Amen. Hallelujah, Lord. Because my name comes straight from the Bible and we are looking at it. So, I wanted to change my name once, but I decided against it. God still remembers his children when your back is against the wall. Gideon was one of the people who, there was no account that he was doing what was wrong. He was doing what was right. Yet, he was in a nation, was among the people whose back is against the wall. And sometimes I just want to remind you, though you may be a Christian, reading your Bible, praying, worshiping, doing whatever you have to do, serving God, yet your back can be against the wall. And when your back is against the wall, remember there's the enemy who is attacking you to mess you up and prevent you from reaching your destiny and reaping your destiny and do and get the blessing that God wants to bring in your life. When you know you're doing the right thing and your back is against the wall, do not accept it. Amen? Do not accept it because it's not normal. It's not your destiny. So God will still remember his children when your back is against the wall. When you come and you are facing oppression, you are facing difficulties, or even in a foreign land, God is going to be with you. Amen. Gideon at the time was very discouraged and almost giving up. But God sees something, God saw something positive in Gideon. And God didn't want Gideon's destiny to be in the hands of the Midianites. Your destiny is in the hands of the Lord to prosper you and not in the hands of the Midianites. Hear me again. Your destiny, in spite of everything that you're going through, in spite of the challenges, in spite of the oppression, in spite of the difficulties, in spite of how you feel, if you're a child of God, what are you backslidden? Or what are you in tune with God? Your destiny is not in the hands of the Midianites. But your destiny is in the hands of God. The Midianites represent the oppressors. The people who come to eat your crop and prevent your harvest from getting into your hands. The things that prevent. Sometimes you work so much, you get so much money, and everything is breaking down, and your money is going into things. Is going to think some things you don't feel it is important to insure them because you can't insure everything. Otherwise, all your wages will go into insurance and you have nothing to eat. So therefore, your destiny is in the hands of the Lord. And guess where God saw Gideon was? In the midst of his challenges, his discouragement, and oppression all around him, Gideon dared to venture out to the threshing floor to thresh his grain, even in the wine press. In spite of everything, because the enemy was eating everything. So Gideon got some of his grain and said, this grain, the enemy is not going to take it. He can take everything up to the very core and up to the very edge, but then I will have to reserve something for me that I will eat it myself. Sometimes you have to be determined and say, you know what? Satan, you can go thus far and no more. You have that power. We've taught you in this church how to exercise authority. You've got to exercise your authority and say you can go thus far, but no more. In Jesus' name. When they come to the point that your livelihood is at stake, your life is at stake, your children's future is at stake, your health is at stake, don't sit and take it. It can go that far, but no more. Hallelujah. And that's what Gideon is saying. He said, Midianite, you can go that far and eat as much as you like, but this one, you're not going to eat it. That's far, but no more. You have that authority. Isn't that what Matthew 18:18 tells us? Whatever you declare allowed will be allowed, and whatever you declare forbidden will be forbidden. In the colloquial language, it said, whatever you bind, meaning declare forbidden, will be forbidden. And whatever you declare aloud, be declared aloud. But a lot of Christians don't have power. So when they say, yeah, I declare, whatever you bind is broken and nothing happens, you got to have power. Because you are dealing with the Midianite, symbolizing strong power that want to eat you out. So you got to do that. In this church, we are training you. Come to our discipleship pathway. We will train you. We will teach you the fundamentals of our faith. We will teach you how to do that. Otherwise, you are walking blind and the enemy is just messing you about. Maybe he hasn't got you now, but when he decides to get you, you are defenseless. And that is the time that you'll be looking for God. But because you are so far, if somebody is not here, there with you to help you out, you just lose your faith. Did you hear that? Gideon was discouraged, almost giving up, but God sees something positive in Gideon, and God didn't want his destiny to be in the hands of the Midianites. So in the midst of those challenging situations, Gideon dared to venture out to the threshing floor to thresh his grain, even the wine press. The wine press stands for new wine. In the midst of discouragement, Gideon saw something new, a harvest. He saw the hand of God. He saw that he can eat what is his and that the Midianites are not going to eat it. So today, do you also see signs of hope in the middle of challenges that faces you, in the middle of oppressions that you go through, in the middle of discouragement and disappointment that you go through? Do you see any new wine there? Let's go to scripture again, Mark chapter 2, verse 22. It says this, and no one puts new wine into an old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins. The wineskin is spilled and the wineskins are ruined, but new wine must be put in new wineskins. Gideon sees something positive, but what he sees positive is got to be different. You cannot use the same approach over and over again and nothing working and still using the same approach and hoping that you'll be victorious. You've got to seek something new. You've got to seek the face of God and say, I'm a child of God. God, this situation that hasn't shifted, I need a new approach. I need a new revelation. I need a new vision. I need a new plan. Show me, oh God. And if there's something new that you have, you can't put in the same old wineskin. It doesn't work. And many Christians want breakthroughs, and they always go back to the same thing, and they're in the same position. In the midst of facing impoverishment, the people of Israel cried out to God. Twice, as Monica was reading, I heard it, and I said, they cried out to God. They cried out to God. They cried out to God. In Judges chapter 6, verse 6, it says that, so Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. So when you are greatly impoverished, when you can't see breakthrough, when there's obstacles and obstructions, whether in your business, not growing, in your job, you're not getting promoted, you are not getting any, you reach the end of your spinal point, and everybody is coming in and going above you, and you're not moving. At that point that you're getting your money is just going out as soon as it comes. You're in the same cycle of sickness. Some of you put curses on yourself. You always say, I'm sick, I'm sick, I'm sick, I'm sick. You are cursing yourself. Because a curse comes from what we say or what we write. Negative things that we put upon ourselves, the atmosphere is soaked with the supernatural powers of evil, and they will bring it right upon you. But at that point that you are, you have to learn to know that God is not an author of sickness, and it's not God's nature that anyone should be sick. Hear me again. When God created man, there was nothing like sickness. Disobedience brought that and released something into our DNA. Obviously, if you're medical, you think I'm going crazy here. I know what I'm talking about. Because when you read Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, what does it say? I am the God that heals you. It says, if you obey me, then none of those diseases that were upon the people when you were in bondage will come upon you. For I am the Lord that heals you. Amen? So it was time disobedience. But you see, at the time, Egypt at the time knew medicine than any other generation on this world, in this world. Western Europe, it doesn't count because they were still in primitive situation. In case you're wondering, Egypt is in the heavens. It is in Africa, right? So they knew medicine, and there were so many doctors in Egypt and any other places. They were literally authors of medicine. Go and read it on the internet. And yet there were so many sicknesses in the land. So many sicknesses in the land. They cured, and yet some they could not cure. So not all sicknesses are medically cured. Nonetheless, let's move on. I believe in medicine. Don't get me wrong. It will work for you. sometimes it doesn't cure everything. That is where we need a supernatural intervention of God. So they were impoverished because of the Midianites, and they cried out to the Lord. God saw and heard. He heard that, and he revealed himself to Gideon. He revealed himself three ways. First, prophetically through a prophet. Second, through an angel. And third, he himself showed himself. Are you with me? So God revealed himself. So somehow where you are, you need to hear a prophetic voice. You need to hear, have an angelic visitation. You need to hear the voice of God telling you what to do in your situation. Are you with me? Hello? So God saw and heard the cry of the people of Israel. And he revealed himself to Gideon. He sent a prophet to remind Gideon of where they have fallen, where they have backslidden, and told them to turn away from God. That you can find it in Judges chapter 6, verse 7 to 10. It has been read, but I want you to note it because we're reading, I'm picking the message from verse 1 to 18. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon at the wine press, where Gideon was looking into the future with hope, with something new in his son, fresh vision, fresh enthusiasm. He appeared to Gideon at the wine press, where he threshes his grain. The angel came to activate Gideon in the strength that he's got. I just want you to know that even in your weaknesses, whilst you're on your knees, there's some strength in you. Hallelujah. There is no useless person around. God sees something. If you're a child of God, God sees something. Even if you are not a child of God, God sees something in you. There is something in you. No one should sit down and say, I am useless. I'm hopeless. I'm nothing. Don't take it. If somebody is trying to tell you that, tell him that this is not what I am. Amen. Amen. You are somebody special, formed in your mother's womb by God himself. You are special. Hallelujah. In case you want to feel it that you are special, turn to somebody and say, look, I'm special. Make sure you tell somebody that. If you are not special, just sit there. So the angel said, there is something I see in you. You got some strength in you. Let's see Judges chapter 6, verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Eh? Serious? The Lord with Gideon? Who couldn't even go out but to go to the wine press to thresh his grain? Wine press is for grapes, right? Not for grain. So he went there, but somehow along he was determined to have something. But God said, look, the fact that you've made some effort, you want to see something new, I see some strength in you. The fact that you are not accepting your situation that is not going well, I see something strong in you, and I'm going to work with it. Amen? God says, I'm going to work with it. So today I'm saying that do not give up, for the Lord is with you. It doesn't matter how difficult and it doesn't matter how pressing and impoverishing the situation is, do not give up, for God is with you. God knows your name. God knows your story, and God is going to come through for you if you hang on with him. The Lord is with you, you mighty man of God, of valor. In the midst of your disappointment, your discouragement and impoverishment, the Lord sees what is in you and says, I will be with you. Therefore, be activated in the name of Jesus. What is activation means? Activation is the act of challenging you, the believer, with the truth so that you will receive divine grace to do what God says about you. So today, God is saying that you, mighty man of valor, you, a mighty woman of valor, that means there's some strength in you. You are important. You are somebody who we can work with. God says, I can work with you. Do you believe that? God says, I can work with you. Do you believe that? Yes. Only three people here. The rest, they don't believe anything. Do you believe that? Yes. Hallelujah. God says, I can work with you. So we have to challenge you, the believer, with the truth of God so that you receive divine grace to do what God says about you. Now we see Gideon having a conversation, a dialogue with God. When he heard from the angel, "You mighty man of God," he began to open his eyes. And he began to have a dialogue with God. He was praying. When you are talking to God, you are praying, right? And when you pray to God or you talk to God, you should have a response. Did you get it? That is prayer. Otherwise, you're not doing anything. When you speak to God, you should hear God talk back. Now, he was praying and pouring out his heart, the disappointment, the challenges and obstacles in his life. Gideon poured it all out. Sometimes we are so Christian, religious that we don't feel that it is even right to pour out our hearts to God and say, "God, you know what? I'm meeting it hard. God, this one I can't cope. God, this one is difficult for me. God, I need you to help me out." Because God is with you. Sometimes there are some things which are beyond your human understanding or beyond your human powers or beyond your human comprehension, and you need something bigger than you to solve it. And this is when we need God. When you are sick, normally you can go to the chemist and get some paracetamol or something and take it, but there's some sickness you get, you see that this one is beyond paracetamol. And you have to go and see a specialist. Same principle here, all the other way around. I just want you to know that Gideon knew that the answer to his dilemma was not only in praying to God, but to see miracles in the now, as his fathers had handed it down to him over the generations. So Gideon was praying for answer to God, but say, "God, I just don't want my situation to be just praying to God, praying to God, praying to God. Now I want a miracle. I want a miracle. I want a miracle in my health. I want a financial miracle. I want a miracle with my children. I want a miracle with my situation. I want a miracle in my church. What do you want miracle for?" Hallelujah. Do you want a miracle?
I want
a miracle. Hallelujah, for a reason. Gideon wanted a miracle. Let's look at Judges chapter 16, chapter 6, verse 13 and 14. Gideon said to him, being the angel, "O Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Gideon was so honest there. He was telling God exactly how he felt. At the time, he felt that God has forsaken them. He said, "Where are the miracles? God, you see, I mean, my back is to the wall, but I need a miracle. Where are my miracles? I'm praying. I'm talking to the angel. I've heard a prophetic voice. Somebody has prophesied over me, or said the Lord says, or God has told me something, or I sense this, and I'm walking with it. I'm claiming it over my life, and still things are not changing. I've had an encounter with an angel. Now I'm moving another level. But I need a miracle. Where are his miracles?" And when he said this, guess who responded? The Lord. Hallelujah. He moved another level. When you are talking about miracles, then you need it from the Lord. The Lord turned to him, Gideon, and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" So you need to press in until you hear from the Lord, because that he is the source of miracles. Miracles are a sudden burst of supernatural intervention in people's situation and lives to change it around for the good. Amen. If you are sick, incurable disease, doctor says no solution. You need a miracle. You need a sudden intervention of supernatural power to change the situation for you. That is what you need. You've prayed so much about a situation. Everybody has prayed for you. You come forward for a prayer, but you need the Lord's intervention. Hallelujah. Are you ready for the Lord's intervention today? Are you ready? And God, go in this might of yours. So whatever determination that you have in you, whatever vision that you have, vision of salvation, vision of abundance, vision of release, vision of breakthrough, whatever the vision is, it says that is the might that you've got. Go in the might that you've got. It may be something small. It may be a small faith, some small belief. And you shall change the situation. You shall save a nation. You shall save your household from the hands of the Midianite. Have I not sent you? God is not going to bring your pastor to do it. God is going to use you to turn the situation around. You've got to be in that place and say, God, I'm ready. I'm not going to have the Midianites eat of my crop. Today, I'm ready to change my situation. Today, I'm ready to change it. I've got some strength. You are sent. I want you to understand that. When you are sent, the anointing that is on the person who sent you or commissioned you will also come upon you. Hear it again. When you are sent, the anointing that is on the person who sent you or commissioned you will also come upon you to be able to accomplish what you have been sent to do, that task. So that means you need to receive a fresh anointing, a new wine. You need to receive fresh anointing. This time we are talking about double portion anointing, because somehow along that you have something. And God is adding something to you. Amen? Sometimes you talk to the situation, you talk it over with your pastor or a spiritual covering, and the person says, go and do this. You have been sent. And the anointing that is upon him comes upon you to go and accomplish what you're going to do. Amen. Are we learning something here? Praise the Lord. You have been sent. You have a task. You have a vision. There's something that you need to break through. Maybe you are not in a problem, but you just want to progress and do more for yourself. Maybe you want more money. There's nothing wrong in having more money, you know. Hello? Don't let some people deceive you that, I mean, money is the root of all evil. Say the love of money. So qualify that. You sit down and be poor, and then you want somebody to put their taxes in the bucket, and then they take it and give it to you, and it says your social money. How did it come? Somebody work for it. Hallelujah. If everybody is poor, there will be nothing in the bucket. Hallelujah. So don't run away from money. Pray for it. And when God blesses you, don't forget his house. Hallelujah. Have I not sent you? This anointing will first come from the Lord, then the spiritual covering, the person who sent you, possibly your pastor who is sending you. Let's look at John chapter 20, verse 21 to 22. Next week, I'm not preaching here. My daughter Tracy, worship leader, is going to preach. So I need to finish this message. So please bear with me. Because if I don't finish, I will never finish it. John chapter 20, verse 21 to 22. He said that, so Jesus said to them again. That's when Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead. He says, peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Hear it. The Father sent Jesus Christ as a son here on this earth with anointing. Then he also sent his disciples with anointing. So you see how the double portion anointing comes? Right. As the Father has sent me, so I also send you. And when he has said this, he breathed upon them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So when you are sent, you need another power to go with you. And that power is the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. To deal with that situation that is not shifting, you need to know that you've been sent. You need that double portion of anointing to be upon you. And you need the Holy Spirit to be with you. Then you know that you are going to have the peace of God. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. Why didn't you just say, go? You are sent. Go. They need something even more powerful. Another level. You see, these things we read from the Bible, but we don't get no revelation. Hear it today. You need another level. Hallelujah. When you understand that God has sent you, you receive power and might from the Lord. Today, what is your assignment? Maybe your assignment is that there are some people in your home that you want them to come to faith in Christ and they are not coming. Maybe your assignment is that your neighborhood is full of evil and you want to do something about it. I remember several years ago, I used to live in a flat up there, just up the road, that now they put them down, they put on some nice, flat, which costs a lot more money. And when we moved in, they were drug peddlers, daytime openly selling drugs. The place was so scary, I'm thinking, oh my God, how did I end up here? And of a truth, we started prayer sessions in my flat. Not even 6 months, probably about 3 months, the police came to sweep up the whole place. And all these people left. To the extent that sometimes we order something, those days we used to order, we didn't know about Amazon, Little Woods. You see how old I am? We order from Little Woods and they will come. And because they're flat, and there is a door there, entry system, you only come in a certain time. If you miss that time, you can't go in. They will leave it right at the floor, in the front of that place. And I live in the third floor. And I'll go and work and come home by 6:37, and it was still there. Imagine those days that a drug peddler was there. You wouldn't even see a sniff of it. Hallelujah. You come and you find it there. I do my shopping and I leave it there. And because there was no lift, I'll leave my daughter in the... I'm just thinking, okay, do I leave my daughter on the floor or take my shopping up? That's a challenge. I won't go any further. I'm deviating. I am deviating. Let me refocus. But stay with me. Sometimes you need to hear things like that. Don't be too disturbed. When you understand that God has sent you, you receive power. Remember that salvation belongs to the Lord. Hallelujah. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Salvation is not only for people who don't know Christ. Salvation belongs to the Lord, so it is for you as well. Somehow you need salvation. That means God to save you utterly. God to take you out of that situation completely. For certain patterns of behavior, certain curses to be stopped. You need salvation. It's not accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. You just say, God, bring your salvation. Salvation means that take you out of something which will otherwise harm you. That is what it is. So you need salvation. So salvation belongs to our God. I thought Pastor Irene saw my notes this morning, but probably she didn't. Let's look at Revelation chapter 7, verse 10 to 12. Right. And crying out, what was that previously? It said, and the saints were crying out with a loud voice, saying, the saints we're talking about. If you read the previous verses, verse 7 to 9, you see that were the saints of God, people who appeared before God. They were crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God, God who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. When you come to the point to realize that salvation belongs to God, now see what happens, what you activate in the supernatural. And crying, and all the angels that stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures, and the Bible says, and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, and power belong, and might belongs, or be unto our God forever and ever. There's even a local song for it. I don't know where it originated, but they say something. Amen, amen, blessing and glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, and honor, power and might belongs to our God forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. We praise God for that. So when you come to the point to know that salvation belongs to our God, it's as if you elevate God and you put all your trust in Him. That is the time that you know that God is your only solution. That's the time that you know that God is your only salvation. That's the time that you know that God is your only deliverer. You got to come to the point to know that you have tried as much as you like. You've been at the wine press as much as you like. You've tried and hoped and prayed and hoped that those people go away, but you need miracle. And that miracle is a miracle of salvation, and it belongs to God. And when we acknowledge God this way, then what happens? The angels are unleashed. They worship before our God. They bow with their faces to the ground. The elders bow before their faces to the ground. And all everybody before the throne room of God bow with their faces to the ground. And that unleash power and might. Power and might and miracle in your situation. Amen? Am I teaching you something? It's a progression of supernatural power. See, sometimes we are not taught things like that. God is raising up a new generation that believes God and who dare to manifest the supernatural work of the Lord. Are you ready for God to use you in a supernatural way to turn situations around? That is the question to you. Like Gideon, stop making excuses while you face adversity, impoverishment, or when things are not going well. The reason why we make excuses is because of fear and unbelief. And when we have fear and unbelief, we panic and look for excuses or resort to blame game. Stop allowing doubt to cover up the strength that is in you. There's some strength in you, so stop allowing doubt to cover it up. Because what did Gideon say? Oh dear, you know what? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh. Manasseh is one of the tribes of Israel. So he didn't even say Israel. He's just literally, it's my problem. It's not your, it's not everybody's. It's just me alone that I'm going through this. You begin to literally contextualize your problem and you hold on to it. That's what Gideon was saying. My tribe is the least in Manasseh. And my household is the weakest. How did he know that? His household is the weakest. Did he fight anybody to know that? He didn't know. So sometimes what we give up. Gideon at the time was giving up. He was only looking at himself and thinking, God, I can't do anything. God, I don't know what to do. You see, my problem, I don't want anybody to be part of it. You want a solution, but you don't want nobody to help you out. You're trying it all by yourself, and you're still not winning. Isn't this the time for you to take your eyes off Manasseh, to take your eyes off your clan, and begin to focus on Israel and the Lord who has salvation to save you? Isn't the time to see the big picture? Hallelujah. And sometimes that is our problem. Judges 6:16, and the Lord said to him, surely, God even totally disregarded all the nonsense that Gideon was saying. He says, I've heard you, but I'm not bothering with you. He totally disregarded that. And then said to him, surely I'll be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianite as one man. So there, God was reassuring him that somehow along the line, all the negative things that you are saying, I'm not bothering with that. My vision is one, victory for my children, victory for my sons and daughters, victory for you, Gideon, victory for the whole of Israel, because Gideon's victory was the victory of the Lord and for the whole of Israel. So God has a bigger picture, that the situation that you are facing, when that victory comes, that victory will come and to spread to your whole household and to your whole family, and it's going to go bigger and bigger. Hallelujah. And we as a church, we have some victories to win, some battles to win. And when we win, not if, when we win those battles, you will see the response. We go in the right way. You will see the response. You won't be able to stay at home and be comfortable. You'll be running to church every Sunday, and you'll come with so many people with you that this place will be bursting with people because people need God. Surely I'll be with you. Let me see what I've got so that I can rush through quickly. So, I want you to understand that when God brought Gideon to this point, I would say that he had encountered God himself. Every encounter with God should result in a sacrifice. Hallelujah. When you encounter God, you got to learn to sacrifice. Financial miracles are signs of the supernatural power being poured out in the church. Amen? And for those of you who haven't been here, you see, this beautiful place was not always like this. Only a few years ago, ordinary men and women, nobody had £200,000 in their pocket. Or if they did, it is their money. Even children, they chip in to pay for this carpet that we put in here. People paid for painting here. We revolutionized the front, the lights, everything. We got a lift. We didn't even have a lift before. The lift itself alone is costing nearly $120,000. Only the lift alone. It's almost $500,000. We had a budget of $350,000. Eventually, they were all at the... You know, old buildings, when you touch it, you get into trouble. And a whole lot of things that we have to change. Our boiler, and we have to change certain things in the loft. We have to change so many other things. Eventually, it's almost $500,000. Where do you think the money came from? Financial miracles. And God has not stopped blessing the people who chipped in. With jobs, with promotion, with unexpected income, with businesses, a whole lot of things. God has been their provider. And some today, we took some loan as well to help us. And some today have committed their lives to put money in the loan fund or burden fund. Every month, they put something in there. And I pray that anyone of you who is doing that, God will bless you, that everything that you put in, you will get it back. Amen. Double portion, pressed down, overflowing. You'll get it in Jesus' name. That is the word of God. So, Gideon says in Judges chapter 6, verse 17 to 18, coming to the end of the message. Then he said to him, "If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me. Do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring my offering and set it before you." And he said, "I will wait until you come back." So when you encounter God, one of the things that you have to think about is that, what sacrifice do I have to give to God? Gideon was doing something in anticipation of the breakthrough that he was going to have. So in this church, I will encourage you that the word of God is so sure, so true, that when we stick with it, it's important. Our financial stewardship is very important. People think, "Oh God, you know what, we talk of tithe, you give a tenth, and your money will go." You know something? People have been tithing in this church. Some are double tithing. They are also giving an offering. A tithe is 10%. An offering is what you give above what you tithe. You got a new job, you got to give thanksgiving offering to God. You got a new baby, thank God. And these days you can't bring agricultural product, right? We can't bring a goat and a sheep. Who's going to kill it, right? I mean, most of the people in my house are vegetarians. So nobody's going to eat it. Don't bring those things. It's not for me. It's to the Lord. Bring a sacrifice unto the house of the Lord. Bring it to God. You got a raise in salary? Think about God and give him a thanksgiving offering. You got an unexpected income? Think about the Lord and give a thanksgiving offering. I do that. On your birthdays, on your wedding anniversaries, what do you do? You go to the restaurant and spend that money. It's a good thing to do. But what is your portion as an offering to give to the Lord? Gideon did that. Hallelujah. Gideon did that. And I've never seen anyone tithe in this church who has gone broke and not having enough to eat. Indeed, 1 Kings 17 verse 8 to 14 tells us that the remainder will go far. That's Elijah challenging a widow who had barely enough flour to make a few cakes. or bread to eat and said, you know what, make some for me first, then for yourself. He says, give it to the house of God first and for yourself, and the remainder will go far. That means it will go far, it will always go far until the next rain and harvest comes. It's a prophetic word that something bigger is coming to you when you trust God. Those who put God first shall be first to receive from him. Hallelujah. One of the things that we have learned in this church about God is that, and which has also helped us to walk in the supernatural power of God, is trusting him with our finances. Each time we sow into the kingdom, we receive a return. Sowing an offering, giving in financial matters, and being faithful in our financial stewardship always opens the door, the gateway to supernatural. That also opens your heart to believe and expect signs, wonders, miracles to happen to you. If you can believe God with your money, you can believe God with signs and wonders and miracles to happen to you. Amen. Amen. That is why a lot of you today are operating in signs and wonders. That means they do things that they pray and things happen. People say, wow, is God doing that? Go to House of Peace to see what is happening in the homes. Go to Peninsula. Go to Catford. Go to Plumstead. House of Peace is an extension of our church in homes. Ordinary people praying for miracles to happen and God backing them up. At least if not at all, some of you had a preview of it on Zoom during the lockdown. And we saw the miracles. We heard the testimony. We hear all the miracles of healing, miracles of money, miracles of all the supernatural things that was happening. And in this church, we don't talk theories. We talk practicals. Let me bring this matter to an end for you. Something that caught my eye to finish the story of Gideon. Chapter 8 finishes the story of Gideon. And what caught my eye is that you can receive the ability to walk in the supernatural power of God. And this is only possible when the word of God is heard, when the word of God is conversed with your mouth, when you believe it in your heart, and when you act upon it accordingly in the name of Jesus. In this church, we are preaching the word of God to you. Today, I'm preaching the word of God to you. Have you heard it? Are you going to confess it with your mouth? Are you going to believe it in your heart? Are you going to act upon it accordingly? Each time we clothe ourselves with the Holy Spirit, each time we are overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, our countenance changes and people begin to see and look at you as a son of a king. So rise up and do what God is asking you to do today. For you have been sent. Go and carry on your assignment. We read in Judges chapter 6 verse 34. It said, but the spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Then he blew the trumpet. And Abizarite gathered behind him. The Holy Spirit came upon Gideon. Someone who was weak then. Someone who was making excuses then. He had an encounter. He had a prophetic word. The angel came to speak to him. Then the Lord came for him. God ignored his excuses and God overrode that. And God spoke to him that go and do this. And Gideon was able to defeat the Midianites completely with only 300 people. Was able to defeat 130,000 people, an army of 130,000, only 300 he had, and they were able to do that. So it is not so much of your strength, but it's the power and the might of God, the Holy Spirit that is upon you, that will do it. Why? Because when you clothe yourself, you look like a son of a king. Let me read my final verse, and you see that Judges chapter 18, verse 18 said that, and Gideon said to Zeba and Zalmana. Zeba and Zalmana were the kings of the Midianites. At that time, Gideon had routed the people and 120,000 of their their most skilled military men had died. The rest were wounded, they couldn't do anything or flee, and nobody knew where they went. So what happened? What happened was that Gideon pursued those two kings. And when he saw them, he asked them a question. What kind of men were they whom you killed at Tabor? Not only did this Midianite came to encamp on their land, they started killing the Israelites. Not only will the enemy come and eat of your crops, but he's going to kill you if you give him the chance. So they answered and said, as you are, so were they. Each one resembled the son of a king. Hallelujah. At that time, Israel had no kings. In the book of Judges, check it for yourself. Israel had no king. And the time that they tried to put in a king who was the grandson of Gideon, Abimelech, it went so bad. So during the time of Israel, they had no king. Everybody did what was right in his own eyes. So if they said that Gideon's face looked like a son of a king, he wasn't. But the glory of God came upon him because of the anointing that was upon him. The glory of God came upon Gideon because of the determination. The glory of God came upon Gideon because he listened to his assignment. And the Holy Spirit overshadowed him and he said, God, I will do what you want me to do. Hallelujah, Lord. Today God says that I'll be with you. How did Gideon defeat the Midianite? He obeyed the voice of God and took the first step. He took action of faith. He responded and backed, and God backed him up with miracles. God gave Gideon a plan and he followed. And because he clothed himself with the Holy Spirit, God is saying today, I will be with you. Whatever the situation, maybe you want to break new ground to be more successful, God says, I'll be with you. You want to flourish in business, God says, I'll be with you. Because you are a child of God, God says, I'll be with you. You want promotion, God says, I'll be with you. You want a raise, God says, I'll be with you. You want unexpected income, God says, I'll be with you. You are meeting it hard, God says, I'll be with you. You are sick, God says, I'll be with you. Even those who are living in sin, God says, I'll be with you. Come back home. That's the whole idea. The presence of God will be with you to bring you peace. Shalom. May we stand. We are going to pray. And are we going to take positive action to respond to this call? Maybe from here you're going to read Gideon again. Or you've heard a story time and time again, but you've never connected it. Have you heard from God today? Have you heard the word of God today? Where are you today? I don't know what the issue is with you. If you need prayer, just rush and come and stand here. If you need prayer, just come and stand here. You don't have to tell me your story. Just come and stand here, because salvation belongs to God, not to me. If you need prayer for any reason, don't be ashamed. Just come and stand here. We're going to pray for you right now. Hallelujah, Lord. Hurry up. I've taken a little bit of the time for the preach, so we're going to be quick here. If you need prayer, come here. Maybe you need prayer to bring yourself back in fellowship with God. Join in. Maybe you are meeting it hard somewhere and you need prayer. Join in. Maybe you want to be more successful. Join in. Hallelujah. Hurry up. There's space here in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. We're going to pray powerfully for God to do a miracle in your life. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. We don't have much time, so please hurry up if you need prayer. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Don't be afraid. Hallelujah, Lord. Now guys, sing for me. Thank you. Now keep on praying to God and tell God what you need. tell God what you need. They are going to sing. And God is going to do something in your life. Hallelujah, Lord. Keep on praying.
We have seen your power through all the ages. You stay the same. And those who know your name know you never forsake. They will trust and put their faith in you.
Watchmen, House of Peace leaders, join in to pray for them. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus.